Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to one, thank you for downloading this episode of Don't You Know Who I Am? And two, to point you in the direction of the Patreon. Yes, if you want to keep the show going and want to help out, go to patreon.com/dykwia. Every week there's a bonus episode called Top 5 where I sit down with a friend and we discuss the top 5 of a topic of our choice. This week's one is with Sammy Shah, who you're about to hear right now. We discuss the top 5 what-ifs. What if moments in the world that would have changed the world? It's really, really fun, and I enjoyed doing it a lot. So go to patreon.com/dykwia. Enough from me. Enjoy this episode, episode 276, with Sammy Shah, Beck Petratus, Geraldine Quinn, and Alastair Trombley-Birchall. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet, I found out I share my name with a civil engineer in Dubai for CAT construction. CAT standing for concrete, asphalt, trees, which really reads like they just wanted to have an acronym for their name. And they started with the acronym and tried to figure out what, because trees doesn't fit that. I'm sorry, CAT construction. Trees shouldn't be there. Okay. Wood, should be maybe. Terrain or something like that. Yeah, core construction.
Timber.
There you go. Who are those voices? If this is your first time listening, what I do, I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with a Calgary lawyer at Sammy Shah and Partners. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Sammy Shah.
That is the Sammy Shah that my parents are proud of. It's definitely not going to be this one, I can assure you.
I don't know. You're a journalist. Come on, that's pretty something that parents can say to people. Nah. Hey, you can read my son's writing.
Yeah, on which website in Australia? No, lawyer in Canada is pretty cool, I gotta admit. I wanna find it. Although, yeah.
Aren't you also a professor at university or something right now?
No, professor's a very exalted title. I'm lecturer, which is I have to spend a lot of years and do a lot of like writing between now and a professor, and it'll never happen because my commitment is fleeting, I can assure you.
Oh sure. My God, you and your jobs!
Sammy, also joining us is a first timer to the podcast. She shares her name with the senior executive officer at Trinity College in Dublin, but the one that we have here is comedian, cabaret star, it's Geraldine Quinn, yay!
Hello, woo! I share my name with half of Dublin. Thank you very much. I get a lot of emails about Dublin real estate. I've actually just set up an automatic reply now that says, you've got the wrong one.
Well, I think, Jared, I can't be certain, but I think there is another person who works at Trinity College in Dublin who has been on, like, someone who shares their name with someone else who's been on the, because that sounds so familiar to me, Trinity College, so.
Yeah, well, it is the major university in probably all of Ireland, so that might be it. And James Joyce, I think, went there, so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
That might be it. Just a hunch.
Our next guest is the only person in the world who has his name, but this week on IMDb, it's been a big week for his star meter because he has gone up 4,402,000 points. Don't know what star meter does, but please welcome back. It's Alastair Trombley-Birchall. Yay.
I am peaking. This is great news for me.
Should we be investing in Alastair?
Yeah, it's going up.
Don't invest after a big pump like that. If it goes up that fast, it's going to crash that fast.
Alastair, also, please don't read anything into me laughing hysterically at the idea of your star meter rising.
Yeah, you're going to regret it. You'll regret it when we're all going to be trading in non-fungible Trembling Virtuals.
Everybody should have already been holding Alastair tokens.
Yes.
You would have been able to cash
Alastella's
in on that.
NFTBs.
Finally, someone, speaking of IMDb, didn't have the best week with their own star meter.
Dropping. I knew I shouldn't have laughed. That was a mistake. I deserve it.
Beck Petratus, how many points do you think you dropped this week?
I mean, just from the amount of shortbread I've eaten this week alone, that I think probably is just like, I think people knew about it. They were like, I don't think stars eat shortbread. This has nothing to do with eating. I'm going to say 3.5 million.
Oh, 540,000 points.
No, see, you should back yourself more, Beck.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. That's all right. It's like, what, a house in Frankston? That's okay.
I don't know. Right. I don't know how... Is it like pinball? You know how pinball, you just score a million points for just hitting it once? It's like, hey, and then you feel really good as a kid when you got, hey, I got like 8 million points in a 10-second game of pinball?
Or is that it just like, me? I don't know. Or is it like, you know when people go like, you've got it, but you don't know what it is?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know what any of you are talking about right now.
Go play the pinnies. You'll get lots of points. You'll feel good about yourself. All right. Our first game tonight is called Social Meter. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read out status updates by the four of you. If you think you know who wrote these updates, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You can't buzz in for your own ones. You get a point if you get right, a point to the person who actually wrote it if you're incorrect. So here we go. Just remember, don't buzz in for your own ones. That's the only thing. Question one. Instead of having five kids, why not have just one big kid?
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
That is Alistair Tremblay Butch.
You are correct. Yes. Yeah,
so there we go. Look at that. It had that particularly Alistair Witch to it. Yes, I like it.
Yes.
So, and may I say, you sounded very professorial.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I do insist that everyone raise their hands before speaking to me, Alistair. It's really well. Basic classroom behavior.
Very good. I really like this tweet, Al. I think you should be very happy with yourself.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I get one good one every 3 months.
But also, isn't this just what happened to you? You just have one big kid? I feel like it's just you're writing from a place you know? Your giant
child. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to explain people the most efficient way to live their lives. Yeah, and that's kind of what I've did, but then I accidentally made another one.
Do you think, Al, if you had like a baby that was the size of five children, that would be easier or harder?
Depends how many ramps he's got in his house.
Yeah.
I think it would be harder only because I would be a single dad because my wife would have died. It would be like, you know, like when a chihuahua gets impregnated by a Great Dane and then explodes.
I'm never going to look at your Instagram feed the same way.
Question two. Crop top is both the thing and instructions on how to make the thing.
Oh, Quinn.
Yes, Quinn.
I feel like that might be Beck.
Yeah, you are correct. Point there for Geraldine.
My face just then trying to look like...
Oh, no, you were looking... You were staring at your feet so
Yeah,
hard.
I was like, I didn't do that. Well, I just feel like that was... You know when you go like, yeah, those words do mean that.
Yeah.
And then I said it, and I felt good about it at the time. And now talking like this, I know people think I have the intelligence to be able to craft that tweet. I did a think and then I put it on the line. That was pretty good. All right. Anyway, huru. Continue.
Love a huru.
Yeah, me too.
Just a dismissive huru.
Also a mid-conversation huru.
Yeah. All right, huru. See you later. Bye.
Question three. You can have as many wiggles as you want. It's Christmas.
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Quinn?
Yes, you are correct.
Ooh, yeah, good call.
That's pretty good for someone who doesn't often tweet jokes.
Yeah. Now, is this...
Normally it's what manifestos.
Yeah. But did you
was
want
this after...
to...
No, was this after they just announced, like, the four new Wiggles members?
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a bunch of, fuck knuckles just going off on Twitter going, but the Wiggles are supposed to be blurred like it's written in the scrolls. It's like,
is my thing with those kinds of stories. I don't think anyone really does care.
Nah.
I think it's just there's 24 hours of news they have to fill a day. And this is something they can manufacture and say, parents and kids are outraged because...
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It's just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect you. Move on.
It just sounds like you guys aren't as devoted to the Wiggles as I am. And that's just
I am. I'm so devoted. I want them to continue to increase in size exponentially until we're all pushed off the edge of the plates of the continent.
I want to preserve them as they are now. Like, keep them going. Put them in some sort of tank, hermetically sealed.
You want designer Wiggles. I'm talking fast fashion Wiggles.
Yeah. You've got Sheen Wiggles and I've got like Gucci Wiggles.
And that's Supre Wiggles.
The tweet would have had a different tone if you had tweeted it right after that one Wiggle had a heart attack and it was sort of more like directed towards St. Peter.
Oh no, I thought you meant like I was going to try to replace the Wiggle, like when you bring a new puppy when the old dog dies. It's like, no. Oh, the Wiggles are fine, kids.
Yeah. So there's currently 11 people who can say, I've been a Wiggle, right?
That we know of.
The original four, then they had Lockie, then Lockie left, then they brought in new three, then a new four, then there's Captain Feathersword.
But Josh, no one has stopped me so far every time I've said I'm a Wiggle. I say it down the shop, I'm like, I'm a Wiggle. They go, please leave the supermarket. Just stop trying to like finger gun everything. It's scaring the other customers.
Question four. Should I get chips for the table? I enthusiastically ask my empty apartment before pouring the packet of Doritos on the coffee table to find the good ones.
Quinn.
Yes, Quinn.
I want to say Sammy.
No, that is Becky Traders.
Hey. It was 50-50, guys.
That's fair. Look, I can. I'm jealous of not having written that is my problem. That's how much I like that. Yes.
It's so fun to really just hone in on a genre this lockdown of like sad alone tweets, you know?
Yeah. Oh, mate, that's nice, my whole friggin' life.
Yeah. It's a nice genre to be in. People relate strangely, weirdly.
You're in the subgenre of it, which involves almost nothing but corn chips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Every tweet, I'm like, how can I fit a corn chip into this?
I'm going to be watching your timeline very closely.
I think you're in the pocket of Big Dorito here, Beck. I think you're getting a bit of some kickbacks.
There's a lot of crumbs in that pocket, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the pocket of Big Dorito, which is like a sort of like an open sort of triangle.
Yeah.
You know, one of those good ones that has a hole in it?
Yeah.
Like the bubble. The Dorito bubble.
Yeah, like a 3D Dorito sort of, that's where I sit in the inside a 3D Dorito. And it's pretty good.
They should do that.
Yeah.
Fill those air bubble Doritos with smaller Doritos.
Why? Oh my God.
I don't know. Like a Russian nesting doll of Doritos? Oh, now we're talking.
Mm. I don't know. Just I don't want to give Doritos too many ideas. Maybe it's more of a CC's idea.
Oh, don't go to
Bush corn chips.
The Bush corn chips.
For Bush corn chips.
Question five. How do people have lots of money? How do they do that?
Beck?
Yes, Beck.
Is it Sammy?
Yes, you are correct. Yeah.
I even remember when I wrote that. I was literally walking down the road and this guy pulled up and parked his car and he was driving a Mercedes Benz. And I was like, how does someone have the money to buy a Mercedes? Like as I drive my 11-year-old Toyota Corolla that's now crossed 220,000 kilometers, how does someone have money to buy a Mercedes? It's actually a mystery to me. So yeah,
I went over to some friends' house. The comedians who've moved away. I'm not going to name them, but they lived in Toorak at the time, and we went for a drive after a few drinks after dinner, and I just don't remember much of the night apart from going down St. George's Road with me hanging out the window screaming in my broadest dandy nong / wagga wagga accent, "You all have too much money!" And it's honestly one of the proudest moments of my life.
Yeah. I went into a comedian, I won't say his name either, but he has a very, very nice house in Fitzroy, and I walked in and just went, "This is not fair."
You're not funny enough to have this house. This was your basic premise. Yeah.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's not fair.
I had to get a car loan, or I tried to get a car loan, and I called up a place, and I was like, I just looking at borrowing like $10,000, and he's like, "Well, what's your average wage?" And I kind of told him. It was right around like 55, 60,000 or something like that a year. And then I was, and then he's like, "And is your partner making any money?" I go, "Not really." And he goes, "Look, man, I'm not even going to check. I'm not even going to check like your credit rating, because if I check, it'll like make it go down.
Wait, I got turned down for a personal loan in 2 hours. Your credit rating goes down if you put in an application and they check it and decline you.
So it's like the quantum uncertainty principle, but on credit rating? I didn't know that was a problem.
It's better if they leave it as a probability.
Wow.
It's like when a policeman says, stop talking. I didn't hear that. But with money.
It's like me not going to the dentist. I'm like, well, I don't have to deal with it. I've never gone.
I remember going to get my tax done in the first year I was working. I was out of like uni and I was only working 3 hours a day at a school doing like tutoring. But I was doing comedy, so I was getting paid cash in hand. So that wasn't declaring that. Mm. And my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she said, oh, this is the accountant I go to. He's lovely. And he kind of just looked at me and goes, how do you afford to live?
I've had the same question for mine.
I was like, oh, well, I didn't want to tell him I get paid cash in hand, but I'm like, I don't eat much and I don't have to buy clothes. So I've got like, And it was like, I get by. And he's like, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. It was great. He tried to get me. He was also telling me put a quarter of my paycheck away every week and then I'll save. And I was like, I can't do that.
No.
Like, this, yeah.
And obviously the reason I haven't shared any stories is because I have a Mercedes-Benz and I have a house in Fitzroy.
When she pulled up next to Sammy that one time, she just didn't want to embarrass him.
I just went, beep, beep, hello, Paul. And then I kept driving.
Speaking of rich people, question 6. Dominic Perrottet presents as the kind of chap the word snivelling was invented for.
Sammy. Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Oh, wow. It's a great thing Sammy said that because that was my answer. I would say Geraldine Quinn.
You are correct.
That was where it's going to go as well. Yep.
Thanks, guys. I'm very proud of that.
I actually remember that tweet. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like an upturned nose kind of thing, right? You can sort of see a lot of the underneath of the nostril.
There's just a couple of politicians that have a real, I've been drawn hurriedly by Quentin Blake calling about them and I don't like them.
For our international listeners, he's the new Premier of New South Wales.
He has 6 kids. That'd be a giant single baby. Yeah.
I also saw there was
I'm from a family of 7. Careful.
Oh. They tried to pitch a story to make him a good guy by saying when he's not working, he rushes home to spend time with his family. I'm like what? Like every parent? Like that's every single person. Like, isn't it? Beck, you're looking like no.
I never rush home to spend time with my family. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. That's the one thing I respect him for.
I've met your mum. She's lovely.
Yeah, but I'm not in a rush, you know?
More of a stroll back.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, let's meander back to the family.
Let's put the Benz in idle mode. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But 6 kids, even going to work is an act of cruelty to your wife. Oh, right? Yeah. Just leaving the house. See ya. And I think the words in the article were he tries to get back to his family as often as possible. Something like that, which suggests he doesn't always make it. Yeah. Wonder why.
Question 7. What's your most intense Tom Jones lyric? Mine is, it's not unusual to see me cry. I want to die.
Quick.
Yes, ooh. Quinn.
I think that's Alistair.
You are correct. Your point is 0-8, yes.
Yeah, what is it about Tom Jones that gets you going, Al? Have you got any more lyrics?
What isn't there?
I think I just hadn't realized how bleak he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean.
Isn't he also burning down the house? He's got a lot of stuff.
He doesn't write the songs. No, he covered it, so you're both right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't write the songs, though. He just sings them incredibly well and with passion.
Yeah, but I mean, there's an element of that where you go, anyway, I don't know. It just seems.
I love your tweet. I'm a massive Tom Jones fan. I went to see him. I bought myself a birthday present when he came to Rod Laver, and I was so excited. And there were so many middle-aged ladies lining up in an orderly queue to deposit various pieces of clothing on the stage. It was, I felt like one with the audience. I wasn't middle-aged then.
That sounds like they were walking up and like folding them up too. Like they were just like, like nice folded pieces. Oh, there's my shirt. There's my bra.
Look, Beck, when you get to that age, your joints just go and you do what you can.
To be fair though, apparently the story around the size of his phallus is quite legendary, is what the Hollywood story are, that he's worth lining up for.
You don't need to worry about stories. You've just got to look up a couple of photos of him from the 60s and 70s because the pants, my friend,
the jumpsuits, very tight.
Oh, nylon, God bless polyester blends.
Question 8. There's never a bookstore in the COVID exposure sites, is there? Book buyers don't get COVID.
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
It's fun having everyone look at you and pretend that they didn't write it. And I just... But, Geraldine.
Yeah, it was Sammy Sharp. It was Sammy.
There never was. Like, just once readings or Brunswick Bound or nothing. Everyone who gets COVID just goes straight to Bunnings and then... it's like, for example, getting a Vietnamese food. It's just this like a weird overlap in those areas.
But I guess it's kind of lucky the Borders died a while back, because I feel like then, because I used to go to Borders and treat that like my house. I'd just go sit there and drink a coffee, read manga for hours upon hours. Like, if that still existed, yes, but I feel like bookshops now are like, come in, buy the book, leave. And I hate that about them.
My thing is, if supermarkets can open and we can all go in there safely and use it, surely a bookshop can open.
Yes.
Like, don't open everything. Yes. Just, you know, bookshop. Go in there. You can get a book. Jigsaw puzzle shops. They want us to stay inside and do jigsaws. Go to that. Like, this is the time for video shops to resubmerge. Get some DVDs.
It's a great idea, Josh. I think Blockbuster should reopen their franchises.
It's the time. Go in there, get Weird Al's, what was his movie? The Vidiot? No.
UHF.
Yeah.
That was in
it's
every video store ever.
It's currently streaming, there was a video store, I'm a video, like, absolute junkie, and there's a place, I now live near where I grew up. There's a place that's near the end of my street that was, I think it was a Blockbuster at one point. I didn't go to Blockbuster because I was cool. And then it was a Domino's, and I think it's currently a real estate agent, and I think there was one more, maybe an accountant in there as well. It's just fun to watch the outer suburbs turn over in the real estate. Hey, this is a space. We'll make it work. Yeah. Who cares?
I always like there's near my house, there's now a funeral home, but it used to be a all-you-can-eat diner, American-style diner, and it still has that facade of it's a diner. On the outside. You know when you always see like the old Pizza Huts that have been turned into something else? It'll never shake it. All right.
My dad used to work, own a funeral business. He was trained as a plumber. I don't know. And it came with a house, which was when he had his first four kids. So they went, oh, well, we'll just start this business. And the best story I heard was they once buried a guy with his car keys in his pocket. And they didn't realise that that's what had happened until the family turned up and couldn't get into the car and were trying to work out what happened. And mum and dad were like, oh, shit.
I've got a similar story. This might get cut because it's a bit grim. But my brother was talking to a guy who his job was to move the cars off the Westgate Bridge when anyone jumped off it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a really good point, though. I never thought about that. Like, what happened to those cars?
Well, he was saying what happened was you knew the people who it was their plan to do this and the people who this was just a split thing, because the people who it was their plan, they left the keys in the ignition and went and did it. And those who were like, I've had enough of life, they just took the
keys
out.
The keys are in the pocket.
They can't move the car.
Oh, my God.
So that is, you know, that's someone's job to go, all right, this person didn't leave the keys in the car. Okay.
That is fascinating.
That was their last thing that they did.
Wow. It's a really interesting story, but I understand if it gets cut.
Oh, I think it'll stay up. All right, here we go.
It's dark. I mean, is that a job where it's like you're kind of just on call all the time, or do you have to like pick up cars from other things?
They're doing other places as well.
Maybe deliver pizzas in between.
Yeah, because if you're on call the whole time, maybe you just stop them when they're getting out of their cars. Go, whoa. Think about this.
Someone's got to do those jobs, though.
No, but also, if you're getting paid per car you tow, would you want to discourage people? I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out.
You're not getting paid commission.
I think you're walking around maybe spitting on people and stuff like that, making people feel like the community is not worth living amongst.
Whispering to people about to get into their cars, like, life's pretty shit, isn't it? And then walk away.
I thought this was a fun show.
All right, let's get back to it. Question 9. Which idiot called it growing man boobs and not manifest chestiny?
All right, Quinn.
Yes, Quinn.
It's one of two, unless Sammy's an even better actor than I thought. Was it Alistair?
It was Alistair. Yes.
Well done. That is definitely, thank you. Some quality tweeting.
That was the first quarter of the year.
Oh, the happy days. The
really
happy
strong
days.
First quarter this year for jokes, and then middle quarter, halftime, not so good. But I reckon... Fourth quarter might be good again for joke. Maybe not, though.
Thank you. Could be. Jokes are up in the last quarter. We're hoping to have a huge pump. Also, I don't know, before when you mentioned a bush corn chip, I don't know why, but I kept picturing that's what they call a huge flake of skin that falls off your body or something like that. Anyway, that's pretty disgusting. But
yeah,
you know, it's the kind of name that you would give to that. You get that kind of sunburn where it's peeling off. You go, that's a bush corn chip, and then they eat it in front of you.
You're just reminding
me of my childhood.
It's an American being shown around the outback or something like that. good on you. It's good stuff, mate. Don't let that go to waste.
It's protein.
And our last question for this first round. So excited to be issued a permitted worker permit today for the first time. It's for the essential work of fucking your mum.
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
That's Beck.
That is Beck, yes.
That's Beck all over.
I remember the last time I was on here when I tweeted that cum tweet. I feel like this is from the same universe as that.
I feel like there's a brand
here. A tweet where I've gone... Should I do this? Ah, fuck it. The cum tweet already exists.
Yeah.
Also, the cum tweet, I almost didn't remember last time I was on here. I can't even remember what it was. I just remember it had cum in it.
Yeah.
And I showed it to my friend, my dear friend, comedian Naomi Higgins. I went, do you think I should tweet this? And I just showed her the Twitter screen and she hit the tweet button. And I was like, okay, well, that's done. So if you're wondering, why did Beck somehow built up the courage to do that? No, someone else did it.
It was about putting Naomi cum in a dish wand.
Mm. Oh, my God.
That was it.
Yeah.
That's such a power move from Higgins.
No, but it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it was.
So ethically, morally... Yeah. Spiritually.
I think as of last night, 23 retweets, I think up to 400 likes. So there you go.
It was a real boom. Yeah. I've got to start. I think this is going to be my new brand.
This is your influencer brand.
At the end of that first round, the scores are ATB, you're on 1 point. Everyone else on 3 points.
Oh, all right.
What happened, Al?
It's amazing. It's like there's only one loser. Amazing.
All right, this round is called Holiday It Would Be So Great. Now, this round, we talk about holidays. Remember them? And today, we're talking about a young Beck Petratus. Now, when Beck was a child, with her family, they would go camping. But what did Beck collect on this camping trip that inspired the young girl to get a bit crafty? Was it A, she was collecting hermit crabs, and she had so many she had filled up an entire ice cream bucket. She then, out of rocks, made the outline of an apple and then pour the crabs into the apple shape to make crab apple. That's A. B. Beck collected a garbage bag full of pine cones and took them back home with her. Once home, she glued them all together and painted them blue and tried to fashion them to look like Marge Simpson's hair. It looked great, but couldn't be worn as it was too heavy for little Beck's neck. Or C. She collected a bunch of bones and made a giant man out of them. Obviously, she didn't find a human skull, so for that, she used the skull of a dead cow. So in reality, she made a giant cow man. Now, one of these is the right one. You can ask her as many questions as you want, but bear in mind, she wants you to get your answer wrong, so she gets your point. You don't have to answer together. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
I just want to point out that, and without asking a question, that the first and the third one, the crab one and the skeleton one, have big serial killer energy. So yeah. I think, Beck, my question is, have you ever been a serial killer?
Is this podcast going to be true crime? Excellent.
Do you want that to happen?
Yeah.
No, market.
I'm saving my murder confession for, like, you know, maybe like an ABC series. I feel like
she's saving it. Yeah, she's saving it for Willosophy.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
We all are. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm under contract with another true crime podcast to admit that.
Serious question. Mm. Where were you camping? What, like, whereabouts were you located?
For which, upon which?
Well, no, I just wanted to know where you were camping in general, because I think you could have done all three of these. But because if I say, where were you camping, the hermit crab one, you'll go, oh, I was camping near the sea. If I say,
no,
you know.
If the first one, I was camping in Marimbula.
Marimbula.
I don't know Marimbula. Yeah. Who knows Marimbula?
I do. It's 25 minutes from where I grew up, like in my Australian of living.
Yes.
So that's, you know, 25 minutes from Tathra, just outside of Bega. All right. Okay. What beach were you on?
I don't know the name. I was quite young, but it was near, because there's Magic Mountain near Marimbula.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah. Don't ask us questions.
Sorry, no. Yeah. But that's what I remember about Marimbula. And like near Pambula, is that also a place?
Oh, absolutely. They got good pies there.
Marimbula and Pambula.
I know.
Too close.
Got real bored naming places.
That's the Ballarat and Ararat.
Every single joke about Australia that foreigners make is 100% true.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But I remember this particular trip very well because it was quite spooky. When we arrived at the camp place, I walked down onto the beach and we turned like a torch on. We had a big dolphin torch. Turned the torch on, and it was just crabs fucking everywhere. This beach was covered in crabs. It's like, you know, one of those memories that's like a formative memory. I just have crab right in here.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure they were hermit crabs. I said hermit crabs.
I had the same thing with jellyfish, Beck. My grandmother's boyfriend had a shack, and on that beach near the shack, there was just all these jellyfish would just flood, like, just on the sand, and we couldn't go to the beach that day and had to stay in his shack where it was on tank water, and he wouldn't let us flush the toilet. And his old, like, unless you did a poo, and then it was fine. But so it's just like these old people's piss just there for days. It was disgusting.
Camping is wonderful. I don't know why more people don't camp. It's just such a great fun pastime.
See, we were shitting in a hole, and I reckon that's a lot better. Highly recommend shitting.
That was what I was going to ask. If you were, I've camped once, but I was a teenager, and we drank a lot, so it was fun. But I've never camped anywhere near the sea. How far away is the camping site from
it? Wasn't
the sea?
It was like a little bit far away. There was like a what do you call it? Like the thing where you drive
a camping
in with your
site. A driveway.
What do they call it?
A jetty.
There's a name for it. Like a motor-in sort of. What it's called. You know where you can? It's got like the little power stick, and you can plug your
caravan
stuff
park.
In. Caravan park. But we didn't have a caravan. We had a tent.
Very popular in the area. Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure hermit crabs are endemic to that area.
She was a child. I'll let her off on that one.
They were They looked like hermit crabs. I had hermit crabs as a kid, as a pet, but they were a crab with a shell on the back like a hermit crab.
But you know what? Even if they're not hermit crabs, the crab apple joke still works.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Unless you had said hermit apple, then that would have been ridiculous.
In the human skeleton one, where did you find the skull?
Oh, I think this is all very self-explanatory. You know, you just find them. You just own their places. Yeah. You go
and
around.
And where
like,
were you camping? Where? Where? In the middle of a farmer's field?
Gippsland. I was Sale. Gippsland.
Gippsland Sale?
Mm-hmm.
The Malat property, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it. But there was just bones all about the place. And, possession.
Can you give us an indication of the proportions of your creature? Because, I mean, surely not all of the bones. Some of them might have been a bird's bone and some might have been a cat's bone or a kangaroo's bone. I'm saying I think this is bollocks, but continue.
It was quite big.
Bones. Yeah, but like, is there an all big arm and a tiny arm? I don't want to feed you anymore.
No, it was quite even. Like, I think I was just a very,
bullshit.
You know.
This is bullshit, guys.
As a kid, I was very like, into symmetry and stuff. So it was, I think, a very good representation of something a serial killer would make.
And this minotaur that you created, yes. how did you know that it was a man and not a woman? Because under the skin, we are all the same.
Do you want to know, actually, look, my
David
uncle was there.
Dick.
Yes, my uncle was there and he got a little, but he put a bone, as a joke, and then he my mum got dick. Angry.
Well, you know, most animals do have a bone in their dick.
Know,
most mammals.
Do.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah,
no, and now I wish I didn't.
There's apparently a story, somebody, who, like an academic, who thinks that the translation in the Bible is wrong, that God didn't take the bone from the rib to make Eve. He took, because the bone is missing in the penis, so he took, he suggests that God took the bone from Adam's penis to make Eve.
Sometimes
was this academic
should.
was this Jordan Peterson? Yeah.
Sammy Shah, yeah. Professor Sammy yeah. Shah.
Sometimes the academics should just not do things yeah. or say things at all.
Yeah.
I got a question about the pine cones.
Mm.
Where were you camping? No, I'm kidding. Obviously, it was in a pine forest. You said that you gathered them and you put them together and you painted them blue. Mm. This all occurred during the visit to the site, the campsite?
Yes, this was Halloween.
Okay, so the blue painting is my question.
Yes, it was Halloween and we were all dressing up in costumes we could make from the bush.
Okay, so
it was
does
one
that...
of those, you know, one of those ideas that now you look back and you're like, oh, the parents wanted to drink.
Yeah.
That's what was happening. And they went, go into the woods, fuck off, go gather supplies, come back and try and fashion something.
But blue? Blue? Blue's quite a distinct
We had
hue.
Paint. We did have paint.
So you like, brought there paint. Was,
my mum always brought on, like, holidays, big craft box to attempt to allow drinking, I guess. She just needed to drink lemon ruskies.
Okay. What else was in the craft box, Beck?
Glitter, mostly, and PVA glue and old paint, like old bad ends of paint. It was like the dregs of her actual craft box. But then, yeah, we pretty much my whole family tried to dress up as the Simpsons, and it did not... go good. I would not recommend trying to like fashion just especially the Maggie dummy was not don't try and chew things you find on the ground.
I like the choice of your whole family doing the Simpsons but then you being the wife.
I feel like it's the most distinctive thing to make. Everyone else just has piddly like doo doo or like pointies like
and
it's
what
a
did
fun
you
one.
What did you stick the pine cones together with before you painted them with the paint that you always bring with you on camping trips?
It was an ice cream container, and then I taped the bottom of it, like masking tape the bottom.
Tape in the box.
And then filled it up.
The ice cream container full of crabs. You put that on your head and then stuck them on.
Yes.
All right, floor is closed. Okay, what are people guessing? Al, what do you think?
My guess is the Marge Simpson hat.
Marge Simpson hat for Al. So that is B for Al. Sammy, what do you think?
I would go for the skeleton with the
skeleton
skull.
Okay, and Geraldine Quinn, what do you think?
I'm torn between the crustaceans and the calcium. in the interest of the game, I shall choose the one that's been left untouched and say the hermit crabs.
Hermit crabs. The correct answer was C. She collected bones and made a giant man out of them.
Yes!
Or woman.
Or woman.
Really
yes.
No, the bone, my uncle did put a penis bone on it at one point. It was huge. I don't know if Josh has the photo. I found a photo of it.
I can't share. I will share the photo with the listeners on Friday.
The penis bone was huge?
Yeah, the penis
and
bone
Josh
was
giant. And Josh has a picture of the penis bone?
Of the penis bone. I just was like a weird dick pic.
Yeah,
like a sort of esoteric.
So
sort of,
what were the animals? Like
cow's head, deer bones. There was a
deer
pit full of cow bones that I just went and took all the bones. You know, normal activity.
I don't think you were supposed
got
to be
wire,
camping there.
Got wire, connected it all up, and it's like it's genuinely it's probably about, I don't know, like 7 foot, and it hung from like old pole.
Wow. And Beck, I'm going off your mother now.
Yeah, my dad was helping me drill holes in the bones to fit them together, and my mum was helping with the overall construction. No.
Can I don't normally do this on the show. Can I just say, I wrote this very late last night and sent it to you, Beck. I'm very happy because all of these have Simpsons references in it. So Marge Simpson's hair in the first one was Crab Apple, like the teacher.
That's so funny.
And the last one, you made a cow man. Don't have a cow man. You made a cow man. So
oh my God.
Thank you.
Very good. Josh, very good. Well, it was done, the Simpsons Josh. Reference that got me. I was just like, I've seen Beck make cartoon characters costumes. And it was very good. You know Beck better than I do.
All right. At the end of that round, the scores are, Al, you're still on 1 point. Geraldine, you're on 3 points. Sammy, you're on 4 points.
Yes,
you're in the lead now on 5 points. It's Beck Petratus.
Oh, can I just welcome the rest of you to the big pool of losers at the bottom?
When we were kids, I mentioned I've got a lot of brothers and sisters, but when we were kids, we used to do a running race or something, Alistair. They'd get to this point where if we knew you were losing, you could shout out, win a loser race, and that meant that if you were coming last anyway, then you won. But you could we just changed the rules halfway through. So just do that.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll come back after these messages.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back. Oh, some good messages. All right, this round is called Knowing You, Knowing Me. In this round, I'm going to read out a story about one of you, and you have to guess whether it happened to me or the person who it might be about. You get a point if you get it right, a point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So you'll get one of these each, and you'll just have to ask us questions. Okay, so to Beck, we'll start with you, Beck. Now, was it Geraldine or myself? While we were in primary school, we were running across the oval and accidentally stepped on a bird. Our teacher, a terrible man with stained yellow fingers, picked up the injured bird and in front of all the students, wrung its neck. Is that Geraldine or is that Joshua?
See, the thing is, I know both of you come from, like, country-ish towns. So this...
You mean towns where teachers are psychopaths? That's what you mean?
Yes, like, yes. I mean, I'm not to say... Do you know what? I'm being too easy on city teachers there. I think they would also do this. I don't know why I was like, no, this is just a regional thing.
Yeah, Beck's going, they only have birds in the country.
Yeah, I've never seen a bird. One day, I hope to. So do I ask... I can ask
you
questions.
You can ask either of us questions, yeah.
What type of bird was it, Geraldine?
It was a sparrow.
What type of bird was it, Josh?
It was a plover.
The fuck is a plover? Explain.
The plover's the one with the yellow mask and yellow legs.
And they swoop, and I'm petrified of them. They're like, we don't have magpies in Tassie, but we have plovers, and plovers swoop, and they've got spurs, like little spurs on their wings
on their
that
back.
Can,
yeah.
People say they have poison in those spurs.
I think that's just a thing you tell kids to scare them off, trying to steal their eggs.
I think they're water birds, like they hang around water.
No, they're one of these dumb birds who lay their eggs on the ground, not in a nest.
So, oh, they are too.
Yeah,
they
so
are.
They're always swooping. Yeah.
This is a lot of plover information. I've just realised it's not useful to working this out. What subject did the teacher teach, Josh?
It was primary school, so he taught us everything.
Jody.
That's actually the same answer.
Oh, same, yeah, okay. No, that is how primary school works. Yes, okay.
He was the only male teacher in our whole school.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And his name
was Mr. Cox as well.
If I have just a quick question. Oh, sorry, I'm interrupting.
Right. No, Al, what do you want?
Help. If his fingers were yellowed, when he was wringing out the neck, did his fingers blend in with the beak and make it disappear for a moment?
What a beautiful image. You're bringing a lot of beautiful images to this podcast. There was the skin fucking corn chips. Now this. I'm going to sleep tonight with beautiful things in my eyes.
Alistair, body horror.
Okay. Ooh,
who do you think?
I'm just feeling Geraldine probably because you seem to be trying to sell it, Josh.
Ah.
So well, I'm going with Geraldine.
Beck, you are correct. It was Geraldine, yes.
You got too much plover information, Earl.
I knew a lot about plovers too, to be fair.
Yeah, you did. But that's why I was like, oh, she's given a lot of information about plovers. She's trying to get me off her scent.
So, Geraldine, this teacher, did he dead-eye you as you did it? Like, it
was
what
happened was I was asked to send a message to the principal's office. So I was running across the quadrangle. And by the way, it was in Melbourne. It wasn't in Wagga.
No, but birds are allowed in different places.
Birds are allowed, yeah. And so I was running across, and as I was running, the sparrow did a swoop and it went in the tiny gap between your school shoe heel. It literally just, and I took me like 3 steps to stop. And then I turned around in horror, and that's when I noticed that the school bully, who was wagging at the time, had witnessed the whole thing. And this kid was an absolute shit. And was just an asshole to so many other kids. And the first thing he did is like, oh, what have you done? And it's like, okay, well, he's got a soft side. Anyway, so he had the guts to pick it up because it was still alive and kind of going twitch, twitch, twitch. But there was a little bit of stuff that should have been inside the bird was a little bit on the outside of the bird, but it was alive. So he carried it back to Mr. O'Brien's to homeroom. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I don't even remember if I ended up giving the message. And he said, oh, that's okay, it's okay. And he took it from Stephen and he put it in the bin and he sat back. He goes, everybody calm down, sit back down. And he sat back down at the desk for a couple of minutes. And then I saw him have a think and stand up and walk over to the bin, put his hand in, pull out the sparrow and just twist its neck entirely around. And the whole class went, and then he said, I'm just checking it was dead.
That's not how you check when something's dead.
Yeah.
That is not how that's not what you're taught in first aid and CPR.
Just want to make sure it's dead, right? So, and the cigarette, he was a really heavy smoker. So, yeah, big cigarette.
Ow.
Yeah.
Because when you do that Dr. ABC, the C stands for choke.
Choke, yeah.
That's yeah. It was really quiet in that classroom just before he did that.
All right, a point there to Beck. Now, to Geraldine, was it Alistair or myself who, when we drove our newborn baby home from the hospital, we had to do it in a car that only had one working door? Was it Al or was it me? You can ask these questions.
Okay. I had to do it in a car that only had one working door. How do I ask a question that's going to trick you out? Al, what was the make of the car?
It was a Holden Astra.
Josh?
It was a Toyota Camry.
Okay, that's easy. You could just send your first frigging car. Josh, which door was the one that opened?
It was the driver's door.
Okay.
It was also the driver's door on mine.
So it's the only one that opened.
Convenient.
It genuinely was convenient that there was one that opened and that you could drive from that point.
I was being sarcastic. Okay, so this was your firstborn child. How did your missus get in the car? Or did you leave her there? Al?
Everybody had to get into the car through that door in like a clown car. And
so you made her crawl over the back.
Yeah, with a fresh cesarean scar.
I was about to ask that question. Josh?
She came through the door, not cesarean, but still not. It's not a lot of pain.
Guys, you can understand why I'm finding this difficult to ask questions that will trip you out.
Mm.
Josh, what's your child's name?
Car Dory. Oh, stuffed
up. Eureka! And Al, what year was it?
It was 2000. I'm trying to think of what year it was this year. It's the 2020.
Okay, I thought it was a firstborn.
No. I think you added that, but...
Oh, no, I think it definitely
it,
was
it gave it. It gave it a biblical feeling.
I mean, these are all things you bloody know anyway.
I said newborn. I didn't say firstborn.
Oh,
all
shit. Right,
what do you think then? Just, if you can't...
I think I'm bad at this, is what I think.
You're terrible at interrogations, is what we've discovered.
I'm not. It's because I think everyone's not trying to trick me.
You don't want people to lie
sorry.
To you.
I'm sorry that you people live in a world of suspicion and fear, but I just want to believe the dads.
Maybe we both. Maybe we both did it.
That's a T-shirt. Believe the dads. That's the T-shirt.
That sounds like a fucking hashtag I don't want to be involved in.
You came up with it.
I know, but I've got a lot of regrets.
You can't get rid of this. This has got your name all over forever.
Damn it. I'm going to choose, in the interests of the game, I'm going to try Josh.
It was Alistair Trombley Virtual. Point there for Al. It's all right.
What would you have asked, guys?
No, it was just, you asked all the right questions.
Yeah.
What was the fault? What was the fault that caused the door?
Because I realized I stuffed up because my car had four doors. And when I said, only one worked, I was like, how am I going to, if you tell me a story about why weren't the doors working? I was thinking in my head, I can't say it was a crash on one side because why doesn't the door on behind
your
me
child
work?
Lock could have got stuck. That's easy.
It was an electrical fault.
Yeah. And I didn't ask those questions because I've had weird shit happen with a car where the window just didn't want to open anymore or is possessed by a spirit and only half goes up when it's raining.
No one on this podcast is driving a fancy car. We're all
except
one
for
car.
Beck.
No. My car does not have a visor in the driver's side.
Your Mercedes doesn't have a visor?
No. So that's why it's, it's fancy, but it's also, things are wrong with it, I'm relatable.
Can I say I do have quite a nice car because I remember when I parked it at Stupid Old Studios for the first time, Beck, and you were like, "Whose car's that? Do we need to put a note on and say get out of our place?" I'm like, "Oh, it's mine."
Every time a vaguely nice car. I think that's a nice compliment if I'm coming out and yelling at your car to get out of the car. That's how you know it's a good one.
But can I just say, if you're a person who lends people money for cars. This is what happens when you don't lend them money.
Yeah.
They have to crawl in to a car with a baby, a newborn in a capsule, over into the front seat, stand on the front seat in a tiny car, and then step in between, crushing all your organs in your torso, and then try to place it in. Anyway, I almost passed out trying to do that.
I just feel like the people who denied you that loan are the evil sort of people who would love that story. So I don't know if that's...
Well, I like to bring joy into the world.
All right, to Al now. Was it Sammy or myself who the first time we met an estranged uncle, the uncle told us that he was only 13 years old, even though to us, a four-year-old, he looked like he was in his 50s. He then told us he was born on Feb 29, so that means he's only 13. We had no idea about leap days and leap years, so we just thought he was the oldest-looking 13-year-old in the world. Is that Sammy or is that me?
Let's see. Well, Josh, what was your uncle's name?
Uncle Ronnie.
And what's his real last name?
It would have been Anderson.
Would have been, okay, Ronnie Anderson. And Sammy?
Weirdly, also Ronnie Anderson. He's the only white guy in the family. No, it's Uncle Asadullah. So, yeah.
That's great. That was...
We don't call him uncle, we call him Chacha, which is your dad's brother is your Chacha. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I love dancing. I mean, I was going to say, there's that older generation where they kind of just looked older anyway at 18. Mm. And I could imagine, if you can grow a mustache pretty early, you could look old. But I guess there's this leap year thing. You were four, and so you remember this. Josh, can you tell me one other thing that happened when you were four?
That when I was four, we went camping to Eugenana, and I asked my mum if I could see Halley's Comet, and she said no, and my grandmother said, it's not real, like wrestling in the Tooth Fairy. There you go. That's another story.
That's great.
My other grandmother. So this was my nan's brother, Uncle Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Different side of the family.
Okay. And Sammy, do you have another memory from when you were four?
Yeah, we went to London, a family holiday, and in one of the big shopping malls in London, they had a wooden horse that was huge, and kids would climb up it. And our parents left us there to climb up the wooden horse and play on the wooden horse while they went shopping. But because I had no athleticism, I basically climbed up, fell off promptly, banged my head on the floor, and passed out.
Are you sure you weren't in Troy?
Yeah. Oh shit, you're right. My name is Agamemnon. I completely forgot. I'm sorry.
Feels like a head injury like that would cause you to forget things that happened when you were four. I'm going to say this happened to Josh Earl.
You are correct. Yes, it was me. Point there for Al. Yes. But I remember, like, him, and it was the joke, and everyone laughed. And I was like, okay, he just must be a very old 13-year-old. Yeah. And then it wasn't until years later when I realised, oh, he's only had 13 birthdays, not he's only 13 years old. And I'm like, what a dumb trick to play on a 4-year-old who doesn't understand leap years.
What's the satisfaction he got out of that?
They just all sitting there smoking, watching the midday show. That's what I remember.
Yeah, no, you feel good when you even like, I know it's not great to feel superior to other people, but somehow it still works.
Yeah,
when you do it to kids. So I don't. Yeah. You know.
I love it. I love doing it. I told my niece she was 5 for about 4 years. Every birthday, it's like, you're 5.
My favorite thing to do when it's a kid's birthday and you say, how old are you? Is he 19, 20? And when they're like 3 or 4, it's like, oh, they love it. Yeah. They love it too. It's good. Mm. So if you're one of those guys who, once you go high five and then you're out with kid stuff, say that to them. Say, how old are you? Are you like 20, 21? Like, what do you do for a job? Do you drive?
Yeah, mine is so, where do you work these days? What job are you doing? And then they're like, I don't work. And then it's a great, like, yeah.
See, but you got to be careful though, because I, my niece was throwing sand once and I decided to, you know, talk about her like she was doing an important sort of business thing. My sister came up and went, what's she doing? I'm like, she's a busy lady. She's got stuff on. And then that turned into my niece constantly, whenever she did something bad, was like, I'm a busy lady. I'm like, oh, no, fuck. That's on me now. But
all
it's
right.
fun.
To Sammy, was it Beck or myself who once had to play Fortnite in a stadium against child millionaires? Not only were they better at Fortnite than us, they were also richer.
Beck, which stadium was this?
I don't know. I don't know the name of the sports stadiums. The one you get on the tram. Mm-hmm. The one where the Oz Open is. Is that something?
Rod Laver.
Rod Laver.
Tennis. All right. Yeah, I think.
Okay. Josh, how did you sign up for this? How did you get involved in this in the first place?
Well, many years ago when I was working at ABC and then I stopped working at ABC, they still wanted me to do some things for ABC Kids, like the ABC Me, that ABC 3 channel. Mm. And so that was where they had Good Game, and they were like, hey, go out there and do a little field piece for us. And my whole thing was like, I don't play any video games. And like, that'll be the angle. People don't want to watch someone on a video game show who doesn't know anything. It's not fun.
Beck, why was it only millionaires' children?
They were like proper Fortnite player people who had won money. Like,
Were the children millionaires?
The children were millionaires. Like I played on the same team as someone who had like just really expensive Nike shoes and a new Gucci bag,
mm-hmm.
and it was very, very disheartening as just someone who'd just been roped in to wander in. Very strange situation to know explicitly that you have less money than the child standing next to you.
Josh, who was the oldest person there after you?
There were some people who were in their
20s. Okay.
I was 33 at the time. Mm. So I wasn't like
how old are you now?
40.
Okay. I will say that it's Beck because Fortnite isn't that old, right?
Isn't it?
Isn't it?
Oh, you're right. No.
Yeah,
you're right, Sammy.
Fortnite is relatively recent comparatively.
Did the streamer setup that I'm talking to you through not give it away that I maybe played Fortnite somewhere?
I know, that's what I figured.
Don't take it away from him.
Yeah. I've given myself away too early. Goddamn.
I should have said it was a Tetris competition that I played.
Bong,
I
Josh,
still,
bong.
Also, not a lie, genuinely do not know what the sporting stadium I played in was, but walked in, got introduced, did not... I'd played Fortnite once. I just got roped in to be like a comedian person on a team. And it was clear that the people on my team really wanted to win. I'm like, oh no, oh no. And there was one shot where I'm Googling like which buttons to press.
Oh no.
And the camera could kind of see what I was Googling. It's like how to play Fortnite. Yeah. And this was like broadcast worldwide. It was a big charity like Pro-Am thing.
That's adorable.
And we, it was early 2020, mm-hmm, and I feel like it was a good sign of things to
come. Because you're a gamer. What's your go-to game these days?
Not Fortnite. Yeah. Nothing where someone can beat me who's younger than me. Right. Just like Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo. Rust SnowRunner, where you just be a truck.
Okay, cool.
Love being truck. Cool. All right. 100% love being truck.
I remember having a great conversation about some game involving goats and physics with you a long time ago, Beck.
Goat Simulator.
Yeah, that's a famous
game. Goat Simulator.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good game.
It's a long time ago. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Don't Starve. That's right up my personal... That's where I'm at mentally.
Is that a video game or your life?
Yeah,
that was the joke. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't. I apologize. I genuinely thought that was a real game.
No, it is a real game. Oh. It is. You've got it. But it's also
like Squid
that
Game is a real game. Yeah. Same. Yeah. All right.
At the end of that round, the scores are Jordan Quinn, 3 points. Alistair Trombley Virtual, 3 points. Sammy Shah, 5 points in the lead on 6 points. It's Beck Petratus.
Oh, wow.
I was just going to quickly add like a little addendum. I respect all of the Fortnite players I played with. Please don't come after me, anyone who has stumbled upon this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Also, I've started playing Fortnite. If anybody wants to get me involved in some world championship where I could win millions, I would like to do that.
Yeah, because he's got to fix his
car.
That's
literally his only plan right now for car fixing.
Yeah. All right. This round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about the four of you. If you know who it's about, buzz in, your names, your buzzers. You can't guess your own ones. You get a point if you get right, a point off if you get wrong. Only round, you lose points. Here we go. Question one. Who here was once engaged to a Jehovah's Witness?
Beck?
Yes, Beck.
I just don't... Oh, my God. Sammy?
No, it was Geraldine Quinn.
Really? Just the one person here that it's almost impossible to have that about.
Yeah.
I don't know why my brain went... Maybe this is just
not
like,
a big Jehovah's Witness.
Could it be for a bit? Yeah.
Not a big Jehovah's Witness community in Pakistan, I can assure you.
No, yeah. No.
Well, to be fair, I was in Canada at the time, so it wasn't here. But yes, he was from a Jehovah's Witness family, and he wasn't practicing, and he started dating me, and his mother said, and I quote, "If he wants to catch diseases off that Australian girl, he can do it in his own house." So, yeah, and there used to be a guy who'd come and visit and try to convert him back, whose name was, rather pleasingly, Tim Easter.
Cool.
And that's it. Like, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Clearly. But I think if you're going to try to convert someone to any form of Christianish God, Tim Easter's a pretty good name for it.
He had a big stone head.
I used to yell from the lounge room, "Tell him you're fucking a Catholic."
All right. Question two. Who, as a teenager, would steal from their local bookshop but never got caught?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Is it Sammy?
You are correct. That is Sammy.
That's right.
Nerd.
Yeah, I used to see comic books, even more nerdy. Like, And they tried. They put security cameras in place to catch me. And so I walked in and pretended like I was stealing, but I didn't steal something. They then cornered me, said, "Show me your bag." I showed them my bag, nothing in there. I then said, "How could you accuse me? This is so offensive." Then I went back and stole quite blatantly, but now they were too embarrassed to accuse me of stealing. And that's how I got away with it for a long time.
What was your trick? Do you slip it up your sleeve?
No, I grab two books and then slip the one in the front into your open backpack that's directly underneath.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
Thanks. Classic. Yeah.
Good tip for any of those kids who are listening who play Fortnite as well.
Who are like, "What's a comic book?"
Yeah. Who here was once in a band called Skateboard?
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Once again, look at all these beautiful people who could be in Skateboard the band. Geraldine.
No, it was Al.
Yeah. What's the coolest word in the world? What's the coolest thing in the world? Skateboard. So
Did you play?
I played drums.
Oh.
And, I continue to, I guess, be a person who could play drums in a band. if it's ever required in a game of Fortnite and I could make millions. But
what was the genre?
We jammed about 6 times.
Okay.
And then so I think there was a lot of jam band stuff. So, you know, kind of like Grateful Dead. Yeah. You know, Fish. Mm. Yeah.
Great.
It never really made it to a proper performance, but you know, we had that name down.
All right, next question. Who here once met the actor David Wenham where they had a conversation about skip bins?
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
I was going to say Al. I'm so happy. Sammy?
No, that was Geraldine. You've been saying Geraldine.
Oh, my God. I'm losing.
Why do I look so suspicious to you, Beck? Why?
I said Geraldine last time. Yeah. I'm just flopping in the wrong direction.
You didn't think I was so interesting. He ended up telling me he wasn't sure where to hire a skip, but just chuck it in the street, quote, the kids will love it.
All right, question five. Who caught their childhood crush making out with someone who had this person's name in a teepee? As in, like, the person we're talking about, the crush, was kissing someone with their name.
Oh, Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Beck.
Yes, you are correct.
Why? Why do I look like the person that that happened to?
Because, I was going to guess that
because
too.
Because I'll tell you why. The quality of your camera is so good, Beck. I could see the wrinkles form the moment Josh started telling the story, and you basically still have unresolved trauma clearly around this story.
If you had crawled underneath the wall of a teepee and found another Rebecca making out with someone, you would feel that as
fair
well.
Fair enough. No, fair enough. No judgment. No judgment.
Also, to be fair, you've got a Geraldine and Alice there and a Sammy and a Rebecca.
All right. Question six. Who once worked on a TV show where a dozen men almost had heart attacks?
Sammy.
Beck?
Yes, Beck.
Alistair.
No, that was Sammy. Well played, Sammy.
Oh, you piece of shit.
Very clever, Sammy, to come in with that late Sammy.
Genius. He's a genius.
That was smart. I didn't know we were
allowed. It was when you find out the show he works on, it makes even more sense. What was the show?
Survivor in Pakistan. We got the rights to the franchise, and we were going to do Survivor. But Survivor in Pakistan, you can't have it as a co-ed show. Like, you know, in terms of like as a mixed gender show. So we ended up having just men, and we could only do it in a camp up north in the mountains. So it wasn't even an island. And the a lot of the people lied on their form about their health status. And so up there, people got hypothermia. They ended up trading a goat for a generator. Several men had to be airlifted off because they had heart attacks. It was phenomenal. Oh. Only one season, and it was the best time of my life was producing that. Yeah. Like, overseeing that, it has made me a happy person.
Wait, was it a failure on the part of the production or the men?
I think everyone. I think society overall failed on that one. Yeah. I would blame everybody, yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes I watch Survivor, I'm like, I reckon these people will all survive this. Whereas having an actual, like...
Yeah. No.
Dire straits. That's kind of.
We were making our way up to the camp at one point in the dark through the forest. It was so badly organized. I tripped and fell over something on the ice and everything. And I was like, what the hell was that? It was a man who'd passed out on the way to the camp. I had to drag his ass like half a kilometer.
I mean, that's kind of good too. Like, if also the production staff might not survive, then I feel like that's
it was hardcore.
That's danger.
I think some shows should have the production staff involved in the show. Like, I think The Bachelor would be so much better if you said, oh, by the way, all the camera people in this show, they can also date The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah. It'd be great. I mean, they could anyway. Yeah. If they wanted to.
Yeah, I know. There's no saying no, you can't. Yeah. All right. Next question. Who here has had a broken toilet in their house for over a year?
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Geraldine.
No, that was Beck.
No.
She's got it. She's one using information.
Mate, I live alone. I only have one loo. What did you think I've been doing for the last year?
I only have one toilet as well.
See, it hasn't stopped Beck.
Turned off at the cistern because it makes too much noise during podcasts. Why am I celebrating?
What's your definition of broken?
It is constantly flushing. And it is next to the wall to our bedroom, so we can't sleep while the toilet's on. We have to turn off.
Or do you need to get a washer just to
fix... No. We've had a plumber come in twice. Oh. They've said they've fixed it twice. It has not been fixed. This is after a year of going nah. And then I thought a plumber would come in and just like poke at it and fix it. But no, I actually think it's really broken.
It dribbles or it flushes and then flushes and then flushes again.
That. It's like constant okay.
Sorry. You might have heard before my father's a plumber, so I was just trying to troubleshoot for you. But anyway, carry on.
I think my plan is just
to shit in the woods before when you were camping.
Yeah, that was
mine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Stick a bloody country Dorito in there.
Beck will be out there with one of those little fold-up shovels trying to get through the tarmac. God damn you, Brunswick! God damn!
Oh, I reckon I can definitely find somewhere in Brunswick where everyone has been shit. There'll be somewhere.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Right. Yeah.
Next question. Who here once did scientific tests to be paid in Coles vouchers?
Beck.
Yes, Beck.
Oh, Al's dead.
Yeah, it was Al, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Yep, I put my arms in a cage with 300 mosquitoes and so that they could all bite my arm.
So I think you've told this on the show before, but you weren't, the Coles vouchers detail was not included.
Okay, yeah. I think the reason why they give you Coles vouchers is because a person who would be given cash and that's who would do this
should not be trusted with cash.
Should not be trusted with cash to spend it on heroin and things like that. And so, and if you could, you would work your way up to sort of do like 10 cages. So you'd do like 5 cages per arm.
Yeah.
And so then at the end, what's that, 6?
At the same time?
You do two cages at the same time. So one.
I just had an image for a second of you with like all your arms and legs in cages of things.
If I could have done legs, I would have done it. At the time, it would have been very helpful, you know, financially. I could have bought a lot of iceberg lettuce. Mm-hmm.
Do you just wish that like there were different bugs available and maybe they had different vouchers? Like if you let a bunch of marsh flies bite you, you get like a cotton on voucher.
Yeah, you get a lot of hamsters, crop tops. Yeah, hamsters beetles. Nibbling on your toes.
So wait, what was this for? That's malaria, mice. Dengue? What were they trying to hoping you would dengue, get? Okay,
these mosquitoes had a bacteria in it called Wolbachia, which is when the mosquitoes have that, they can't transmit dengue or Zika or a few others, and so then they release after they breed these. They go and release them in the area, and then they breed with other local mosquitoes, and then their children also have the virus. And apparently, it's a very successful thing. Mm. Anyway,
great. Do you watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and just go, oh, they must be getting so many Coles vouchers.
Yeah, absolutely. Your arms look so disgusting when they come out, like after that fifth cage.
Yeah,
and it's just so welty, and you just got to like run it under as hot a water as you can handle, and that stops the itching.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I always thought when you had a bite, you crisscross it on top of the bite with your nail, like as in to make a cross, and that stops the itch. That's what I was told as a kid.
No. Yeah, I think that's a kid idea.
I think that's science. No, that's science. No, I've heard that.
We were told use cologne or like perfume and spray on top of it. So like whenever you have a mozzie, even now, whenever I get a mozzie bite, I just spray cologne on it and it smells great.
And my dad just went, bite
the mozzie
just
back.
Just nibble at it, like gnaw at your arm. Just, yeah, bite the mozzie, get that blood in your mouth. Just really fuck yourself up.
Next question. Who once had a professor of Hogwarts be an absolute dick to them?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Rebecca Petraeus.
No, it was Sammy Shah.
No!
Yeah!
I'm a trick nerd. Here is a trick.
Yes. Professor Flitwick or Miriam Margolis, who came on the ABC Melbourne when I was presenting there and basically was talking about a theatre play that she was in. And one of the actors in the play is an Indian man named Dilpreet. And she was telling us the actors in the play, and she's like, oh my God, Scott something is amazing, and Bob something is amazing, and there's, what's his name? He's one of your mob, and she points to me, and then she goes, and then she goes, Dunlop, his name's Dunlop. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's not Dunlop. And she's like, oh, you've got such a lovely accent, just keep talking. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Why is Professor Flitwick being like a casually racist dick to me?
So, I love Miriam Margot.
No, I love her, of course.
But yeah, but that's so upsetting to hear, because I don't know if you have listened to the podcast Off Menu with Ed Gamble.
Oh my God, I just listened to her episode the other week.
She just goes into Jewish women suck off men, and it's like that's a common thing. I'm like, what? I've never like there. Yeah, it's she's very funny. Mm. Like she's like an English Denise Scott if Denise Scott was like
a
thespian.
Yeah, that was the word. I was going to say
a fruity thespian.
I was going to say actor, but then I realized Denise is also an actor. So yeah.
I remember basically looking up because, like, you know, as she's going Dunlop, Your Mob, and all of that, and my producers are in the other production booth and everything, and they all just have this shocked look on their face. They're like, "We did not think this interview would go in this direction. We did not know Miriam Margolis would be the problem guest of today." So yeah.
But when you get old, sometimes a name kind of gets stuck and you go, it's got two syllables that starts with a D, I'm going to guess.
And you know what? Good on her for like not going, I can't remember. She just went, like, fucking Dunlop, and I'm owning that shit. Like, he's named after a tire.
question. Our last question for the game. Okay, whose school had an active shooter in the suburb, so their class had to go to the library and watch Disney cartoons away from all windows?
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Alistair. Because
no, it was Geraldine Quinn.
What? In Australia? Yeah.
In Australia. There's
an active shooter? Yeah.
There was. In 85, 86, there was a guy who was nicknamed Mad Max by the media, and he shot at a couple of cops, and I don't remember if he killed them, so whoever laughed.
Sorry, that was on me.
Yeah. And he ended up, he went on the lam, and they knew he was in Noble Park, and he they couldn't find him. So we were driving to school. My mother was a teacher at my school, so she was driving me and my late brother and my little sister to school, and we couldn't get anywhere near St. Anthony's. We just couldn't get anywhere near it because there were cordons everywhere. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? Mm. And my sister said later, she remembers us getting stopped and getting our boot checked. And, yeah, we finally got to a police stop, and they sort of told us what was going on, and they said, kids, we're all going to stay in the lounge, into the library. We're staying in the library. We're going to watch videos. Stay away from the windows. And he was holed up in an attic in Noble Park for about 3 days.
Oh, so they found him there. So,
no, he got out again.
Okay. He's still at large. They caught, they, he's still, yeah.
No. They caught him. He ended up getting shot by cops. Like, he ended up going to somewhere regional.
I really should stop laughing.
What Disney movies did you watch?
So they watched Pocahontas. They probably watched an episode of BTN.
It was 86, darling. It was 86. BTN, maybe. But yeah.
All right. At the end of the game, the scores are Geraldine Quinn, 3 points.
Boo. Win or lose a race.
Alistair Trombley-Birchall, 3 points.
Oh, look, that's okay.
We won.
Beck Petratus, 3 points.
What?
Sammy Shah, 4 points. Here's our winner. Yes.
Yay for me.
That's a clear
the
winner.
The criminal mastermind wins.
Sammy, you deserve Thank that for you. What happened to you yeah. with that yeah. Hogwarts
Thank you.
Lady.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You deserve it over my nearly, you know, being terrified by a man running through Melbourne.
No, maybe my goodness is way scarier. Yeah.
Next time I see you in my Mercedes, I'm going to slow
Thank
down
you.
And I'll spit on you. Just for fun.
That's right.
Yes. Now, Sammy, because you win, you can plug whatever you want to plug first. You've got your Patreon.
I do indeed. I have a podcast and a Patreon because it's the 21st century. Well, that's what I have. It's a patreon.com/Sammy Shah where there's recipes and there's short stories and excerpts from books that I'm working on, etc. And then there's the new podcast called News Weekly. That's Weakly is the pun that I came up with that no one else found funny. And News Weekly is a weekly news satire podcast. Think of it like AM/PM, but a comedy version of that. So, yes.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Beck Petratus, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitch all the time at the moment. Twitch.tv/Beckness. I'm making things out of clay. I'm playing games. And if you think that sounds boring, then don't come. By all means, stay away. I don't give a shit. I'm sick of people going like, oh, I can't believe people watch people do this. It's like, fuck you. You're listening to someone just talk on the radio?
Yeah.
That's dull. I've got visuals. Get fucked. Anyway, so that's my promo for my Twitch. I've got a YouTube show called Media Breakdown, which is 6 episodes of me explaining different media shit. So if you're interested in like copyright and defamation, you might find something out there.
Great.
And it's on youtube.com/stupidoldchannel.
Go check them out. Geraldine Quinn, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter as Geraldine Quinn, which is useful. Not on Instagram as Geraldine Quinn. I got a weird name because my name is everyone in Ireland's name. But you can find me through the website, which is geraldinequinn.com if you're interested in any of that. I do have a Patreon, but it's paused at the moment. What else? Oh, YouTube is just Google me. I'm on there. Yep. And I have a Bandcamp, which is like bandcamp.com/Geraldine Quinn. And the only thing that I'm in at the moment is I did some guest voices for the Bazura Project podcast, which is just up to episode 2 at the moment.
Nice. And the week this comes out, so this Friday is Bandcamp Friday, so you can buy some of Jez's stuff on Bandcamp. And
I've got 6 albums on there. Please buy some.
She gets 94% of the money as opposed to they take a bigger cut. Mm. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, ATB, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Two in the Think Tank podcast with Andy Matthews. You can also find me on a ABC Radio National show that we did called The Pop Test, which is a science quiz thing with many great guests such as Josh Earle and Sammy Shah.
I'm available.
Great. Well, we're currently working on the next season, which was delayed because of because of this COVID thing that's happened.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of that. And you can find me at AlistairTB on Twitter.
Excellent. Thank you all so much for playing. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.